both the deaf and the hearing. God has broken both of our hearts for the deaf, but we believe you reach everyone and anyone that God brings along your path. Sometimes people would ask me, well, why do you reach the deaf? And I ask them, you don't. We believe that the deaf have souls that are lost and on their way to a hell. They have the ability to understand. And the Bible does say that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. But the deaf can hear with their eyes, and they can see, and they can understand. And they can communicate the same as you and I do. And right now, my wife's going to give a short testimony about how the Lord has worked in her life. And then we're going to show our DVD after that. We'll bring forth a quick little message from God's word, and we'll get out of you plenty of time so that you can hear Brother Matt preach again. All right.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you all this morning. My name is Amanda Stewart, and I grew up not too far from here down in Torrington, Connecticut, down the northwest corner of Connecticut. I grew up in church. My parents brought me to church every time the doors were open. At the young age of four, after hearing a message one night on hell, I can remember going home and being so scared that I was going to go there. And so that night I knelt down beside my bed and I prayed to Jesus to save me. When I was 10 years old, I started to have a lot of doubts, and I wondered if I was too young, maybe I didn't really understand what I was doing. I would pray over and over again and continually asking Jesus to save me. Finally, one night, I was like, this is ridiculous. And I knew that you could know for sure that you were going to heaven. So I opened my Bible and I was reading in John chapter 6, verse 37, where the Bible says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast him out. And it was that night that I prayed and claimed the Lord's promise in that verse and gained assurance of my salvation, that it was trusting in Jesus Christ alone, not in a prayer, not in my parents taking me to church to save me, that it was all through him. And shortly after that, when I was 12 years old, a deaf couple started coming to our church. I had never met a deaf person before, and I was very interested in all their sign language. So I began learning sign language when I was 12, and over the next 5 or 6 years, until I went to college, I would interpret in the church services, doing songs and announcements, and eventually a couple messages. Two verses that always stand out to me for the next few years of my life, going to college and getting married, are in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I had plans in my life to go far, far away to Oklahoma to college, but that was not God's plans, and he wouldn't give me any rest until I surrendered to him, and I ended up going to New England Baptist College in Southington, Connecticut, which also happened to be where I met my husband. And that's a really long story, but the short version of it is that initially I was not really interested in him, and told him so. No. But through a course of events and God leading me, my heart was always for the deaf, but I thought it would be here in the States, even though I wasn't opposed to foreign missions per se. I just always thought God would have me here in the States. But through a series of events and allowing me to go to a Deaf Nation World Expo, where there were 30,000 plus deaf people from 35 different countries around the world, that I was able to hand out gospel tracts and give the gospel to, God really used that event to break my heart for the deaf all around the world and to see that they really are an unreached people group. And so it was through that event that I surrendered finally that year in October of 2010 to go wherever God would have me to go. And shortly after that, through a whole series of events, my husband and I started dating, and then we were married in 2012. And I'm really excited. I was able to go with him on a survey trip of Gabon in 2013. And that was a huge blessing. Being there for a month and getting to meet the people, God really broke my heart for the people there. And I'm excited to go back and see what he'll do in the years ahead.
At this time, we'll show the DVD.
In Mark 16:15, the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. spread throughout the world is a people group that has been largely forgotten. While some groups and individuals are being reached for Christ, countless others slip away into eternity without Him. The deaf are such a group. The deaf are everywhere, here in America and on every mission field around the world. These precious souls for whom the Lord died need to know of His free gift of salvation. Statistics tell us that approximately 400 deaf will die today, and less than 1% have ever seen a clear presentation of the gospel. God has called many missionaries to start churches throughout the world. Many have obeyed and been successful in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. Unfortunately, those who are deaf are normally not reached with the gospel and may literally live and die within the shadow of a gospel-preaching church. Who will reach these deaf with the gospel? Gabon is located in West Central Africa, surrounded by Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, and the Congo. Gabon received their independence from France in 1969 and is one of the most prosperous African nations. It is also one of the few African countries never to engage in civil war. While most of the people are descendants from freed slaves, the Gabonese are still enslaved to another master, the master of sin. There are approximately 1.7 million people in Gabon today. The majority of them profess French Catholicism with growing Muslim and charismatic influences. Once missionaries had flooded the coastal city of Libreville, but without proper training and discipleship, the churches soon fell to moral and political corruption in the absence of the missionary. Statistics and surveys show that there are no Baptist churches in Gabon today, but a new generation has sprung up, one eager to learn the truths of God's word. Gabon has been prepared for revival. During our survey trip of Gabon, the Lord directed us to the office of the Minister of Social Affairs. She listened with interest as we explained that we plan to return to Gabon in a few years to tell the deaf about Jesus and establish churches. She told us that she had been praying for years for someone to come and tell her people about Jesus. We are Bruce and Amanda Stewart. God has called us to reach the deaf in Gabon, Africa. I was born and raised in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. At an early age, I saw my need of a friend and a savior through Jesus Christ. God gave me a heart for missions, and while I prayed about where He would send me, the Lord placed the country of Gabon on my heart. As I was guest speaking at the American School for the Deaf in Hartford, Connecticut, I saw deaf children that didn't know whether or not God loved them, and this broke my heart. Torn between the hearing and the deaf, I sought godly counsel, and after a time of prayer, God directed me to focus my ministry on reaching the deaf, having faith in God to send more laborers to Gabon to reach the hearing.
I was born and raised in a Christian home in Torrington, Connecticut. My parents took me to church every time the doors were open, and at an early age, I realized that I was a sinner destined for hell. At the young age of 4, I knelt beside my bed after a church service and asked Jesus to save me. As I grew older, many doubts began to plague my mind. I wondered if I had been too young to fully understand salvation. One night, I could not handle all my doubts anymore. I opened my Bible and read John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That night, I prayed one final time and claimed the Lord's promise in that verse. I do not trust in my feelings anymore, but I trust the precious promise of God given to me in His Word. I began learning sign language when I was 12. My heart was broken for all the deaf who had never heard about Jesus. At the 2010 Deaf Nation World Expo, God began burdening my heart for foreign deaf missions. I struggled with the idea for several months, but finally in October, I surrendered to go where God would have me.
In 2012, Amanda and I were married and joined Tabernacle Baptist Church of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We have served as interpreters for the deaf, taught Pee Wee clubs, a new believers course and Sunday school class, as well as having been involved in personal discipleship and soul winning. We're excited to have Tabernacle Baptist Church commission us for the ministry in Gabon to which God has called us.
Hi, I'm Pastor Joel Long of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We would like you to consider Bruce and Amanda Stewart, missionaries to Gabon, Africa. Bruce is an excellent preacher, a man of God, and desires to serve the Lord with all of his heart. His wife, Amanda, does well with the ladies and the children's ministries. Please prayerfully consider taking them on as your missionaries to Gabon, Africa. Thank you.
Tabernacle Baptist Church ordained me in the gospel ministry on July 27, 2014. In the summer of 2014, we joined Silent Word Ministries International, a mission agency focused on reaching the deaf of this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. After joining Silent Word Ministries, God led us to leave our jobs and attend Baptist Bible Translator Institute to hone our skills in learning foreign and tribal languages and to withstand the tides of culture shock. Why learn foreign languages if we are going to the deaf? Because God doesn't waste anything we offer Him, and the ability to witness to the deaf and their hearing friends and family will prove invaluable when it comes time to disciple and turn over local works to national pastors. Our ministry goals are to reach lost souls, particularly the deaf, with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to establish local, indigenous, Bible-believing churches for the deaf and their hearing families, to train national pastors and leaders, and to train illiterate deaf to read and write so they might grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
On our survey trip to Gabon, I enjoyed visiting the deaf school and talking with the children. One moment I will never forget is when one deaf girl asked me to stay, and she would teach me sign language if I would teach her about God. I love the people of Gabon and cannot wait to return and tell them about the Lord.
Amanda and I are thrilled to take the good news of salvation to a lost and dying world. Please prayerfully consider your part in reaching this country with the gospel and investing in our mission to reach those who have never heard the message of salvation through Jesus Christ.
Does anyone have a question concerning either Gabon, our field, our call? Thank you for interpreting for me. It helps me so much. I would need to go really slow if I interpreted for myself. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate seeing deaf people here. Do you know Jesus Christ? Any questions? No? Okay.
I have one, brother.
Oh, sure.
They speak the same sign language map because we do here at ASA.
Yes, we have the American Sign Language System, which is the same. I'll stop interpreting. I have a habit of my hands moving, signing a lot. So, if my hands go in my pocket, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying not to be distracted. All right. We are Baptist. Sometimes I get blamed for being Bapticostal or Pentabaptist. And we sometimes will stand and interpret, but we don't believe in interpretive dance. It is a blessing being with you all this morning. It really is. And I appreciate Pastor. And when I called him up and he said, I love the snow, I said, I need to meet this pastor. It has been a blessing. I'm thankful for all of you who came out here on the first day of bow season. I don't know what it's like in New York, but in Pennsylvania, that's a national holiday. Don't say amen to that. There are three hunters in the Bible. And they're all evil. law of first mention, law of full mention. If you're a hunter, it's not a good crowd in the Bible. Fishermen, that's where you ought to be. I know one pastor wanted to start a boating ministry. I don't know how it's going to work with you in Alaska. Genesis chapter 2. I know Genesis chapter 2, you all know exactly where I'm going with this. Very famous missions message out of Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, you don't need to turn to it, you probably all know it, you probably all quote it. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then it goes on, and you know the hall of faith, how that Moses and even Samson and others are mentioned there. And what great things that they went through. And how that they had faith, and it was counted to them for righteousness. And then the Bible says at the very last verse of chapter 11, how that God has greater things for us, in that without us, they without him cannot be made perfect. God's desire to see men and women like you who have trusted in Jesus Christ alone to bring the gospel throughout the whole world. You can only do it through faith. We have faith promise missions, we have faith promise giving, and every step I make along the deputation trail has to be by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And Romans chapter 14 says, for whatever is not of faith is sin. You see, when I got saved, I don't believe in sinless perfection, Pastor. Because when I got saved and I started to learn the Bible, I knew God's commandments, I became more guilty. Because now, if I were to sin, I knew better. And I knew the penalty of that sin. And sin no longer had reign in my life. Anytime I sin, I yielded to it. I willingly gave in to it. I'm not a perfect person standing before you today. I'm a man called by the grace of Jesus Christ alone. I am here to present the field of Gabon, Africa, and indeed the field of the entire world before you, your family, and your church. What you do with this calling is between you and the Lord, but I do ask that you would prayerfully consider my wife and I as we continue to go, as we pray, and as we pursue. And the video said that there are no Baptist churches in that country. There's no Baptist missionaries anywhere in that country. We are going to be the groundbreakers. And that sounds great if I were an advertisement company. It's awful in execution. I can't imagine if you went to Alaska alone. Now, this is interesting. We got a missionary in the Arctic Circle and a missionary on the equator. You know which one of us hates snow. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Verse number 4. Well, I'll jump down from 4 to verse 8 for sake of time. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and is good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. We're thankful for the beautiful weather and the beautiful day that you've given to us. We're thankful for the safety these men and women have that they come here. We're thankful we live in this country where the freedom we experience on a daily basis. And those who aren't here this morning, who normally would be here, we don't have to fear that they were dragged off by the Gestapo or anyone else. No, we have the liberty to proclaim your truth openly. We're thankful for it. Let us take advantage of it with boldness and with faith. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. When we look at missions, and especially missionaries, we all have our reasons for doing what we do. I don't know of very many people who would say, I'm going to do something, and you ask them, well, why are you doing it? Not just because. There's very, very few things you do just because. And even when you ask your spouse or you ask your children, why are you doing that? Oh, it's just because. Now, there's usually a reason behind that. When we look at missions, we look at why do we do missions? I think it would be very clear it would be good for us to clarify why it is that we go all around the world. I know some brothers, they might like the cold, but I don't think you went to Alaska just because you like the cold weather. You know, Pastor Carter, you might have come up here for the snow. I don't know. I don't necessarily like to go where there's malaria and carpal tunnel and all these different diseases. I don't necessarily like to do those things. So there has to be a reason for what we do and why we do what we do. And there are some who will say, well, missions is for the preaching of the gospel. And I'm all for preaching of the gospel. And definitely preaching of the gospel is important. I'm not diminishing that at all. But our heart and purpose for missions is not simply to preach the gospel. That's not the complete Great Commission. If you were to go out and just preach the gospel, but you never discipled, they won't grow. And here's an interesting thing. It's normally the mature Christians that reproduce.
That's right.
It's the immature, the lukewarm. They don't do anything. It's usually those who have a passion for God, and you can. The two times you're going to be most active in your witnessing is immediately after you yourself get saved, because you are feeding off the fervor, off the spiritual passion of someone who just led you to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Or when you are mature yourself and you have that spiritual passion, you give that to other people. Those are the two times when you're going to be most active in your spiritual life and in witnessing and reaching other people for the gospel. There are some people who would say that we go out and we reach people to usher in the end of the world. They believe that the world must first get good, and then Jesus Christ will come and will reign. You have people who used to say, well, we have to fulfill the verse that says the gospel must first be preached around all the world, then shall the end come. And so they preach the gospel, not for the lost man to be saved, but rather so that the end of the world can come.
Yeah.
And as Paul says, I'm grateful for anyone who preaches the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
It's not the power of that particular man.
Amen.
If we were doing missions in my power, Pastor Carpenter's power, Pastor Matt's power, we're going to flop.
Right.
But when you do it in the power of God, you'll see things done that'll make the world marvel. And I love history. Anyone here love history? Few of you. Those of you who don't like history, you just haven't had a good enough teacher. I love history. For those of you who love history, a quick little bit, come by my table, ask me how mission saved Hawaii. Ask me how missions saved Africa. Ask me how missions, American missions, saved the black soul. I'm not being racist. I'm just simply saying. Ask me how missions perspired and transformed the world. Ask me how missions changed the hearts and lives of millions. Ask me about a deaf man who saw millions spared and thousands saved. And a lot of people wouldn't get behind him because he was deaf. But he went forward in faith.
Amen.
God's still working.
Amen.
But if you were to ask me, what is the purpose for missions? Why are you doing what you're doing? I would simply have to answer this. God is not an idea. He is not a philosophy or a theology.
Amen.
He is a living person. He is the creator and the sustainer. He is the ruler and judge. He is the sacrifice. But it is He who wants a relationship with you and with me. God created man for one purpose, fellowship with Him.
Yeah.
Missions is restoring that relationship.
Yeah,
I'm all for going and preaching the gospel. But if you leave out the relationship, those people will never mature. Here the Bible says that after God had created everything, the seventh day had happened, God rested, the work was done. Man was already created. The world was a paradise. And God says, I'm going to take it a step further. Man, the Bible says, it has not entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for him that love him. Oh, my goodness. You haven't even begun to know the glory of God. Anyone here like gardening? I'm a teacher. I like to get people involved. Okay. Anyone here like cats? Those of you who don't like cats, you just haven't ever had them prepared for them. I'm teasing. All the cat lovers are gonna boycott tonight's service. Isn't it great to have fun? Africa. You know, here in America, if I go around saying, black man, they're going to throw me in jail.
Yeah.
There, they look at me and they say, blanc, blanc, I say, noir, noir, and we both just end up laughing. There's like, white man, I say, black man, they're just, oh, yeah, that's what we are. There, they hate you for the size of your nose. Not kidding. They know where you are, and they will hate you based on how big your nose is. The size of your lips, the size of your ears. You know, it doesn't take much for you to go over there and say, hey, I'm not from around here, am I? Nah. Man, differences are so silly, but that's not the point. The point of that is, God made everything.
Amen.
And then when he made it perfect.
Amen.
And it was so perfect and so good, God says, no, I'm going to plant a garden. And I'm going to make a garden. And this garden had to be so beautiful. For in it, the Bible says, there was every good tree that was good for food, and in it there was every plant that was pleasing to the eyes, and even the tree of life was there. Oh, this garden was beautiful. And then God used a four-letter word with man, W-O-R-K, and says, you're going to tend to this garden. Now, work is not really a bad thing. In fact, I believe there'll be work during the millennial reign of Christ. Whether or not there's work in heaven, I don't know, but my body's not going to get tired, so. And then God fulfilled the purpose for the garden and for man together. You see, for in the evening, he would come down and he would walk with the man and talk with him. We sing a song about, I think the song is called In the Garden.
Yeah.
And the chorus simply goes, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Yeah.
See, God knew that man was going to sin. The Bible says that Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world.
Yes.
In fact, he even gave his gospel plan in the first six verses of the Bible. You see, by the end of day one, that covers Genesis chapter 1:1-6, the first day, the Bible says, and the morning and the evening were the first day, right? Bible says in the evening and the morning were the first day. Isn't that kind of awkward? We think that's a little backwards. We think, well, the day starts, it's morning. Day ends, it's evening, right? You see, God knew when he created this world that one day he had to send the sun to come down. And that sun is going to touch that earth. And when it gets low to the ground, what happens? Sky turns red. See, his sun was coming down. And he was going to be put down into the ground and buried for 3 days. And his blood was going to cover the whole earth. And there would be a time of darkness. But there would be an appointed time as well where that same sun will rise again and rise high into the sky and will give life and life and life and breath to all. You see, everything that has life, we do deter it. Everything physical on this earth, we can derive our life from the sun. And what a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ as he would have to come and be birthed and then rise again and give life to everything. In the first 6 verses of the Bible, God gives a message of the gospel. He knew that man was going to sin. But he would walk with Adam and he would talk with Adam day after day, year after year. Anyone here newly married? No? Oh, we got 2. You volunteered. Could I have you guys come up here real quick? No? Okay. Can I have my wife come up and play? They're like, hunters, cat lovers. What? We know we're next pastor. You know when you're first married, that wedding day, how lovely that is? You know, you take your loved one in hand by hand, and this is going to distract me. I've got to stay focused. And you're sitting there, you're looking into each other's eyes. And of course, the preacher's up there probably giving a message. You're not paying any attention. Would it hurt my wife while that's going on if I was doing this? Everything looks nice. Decorations are all nice. You did a good job with decorations. Hey, my aunt's here. She made it from Texas. It's a long drive now. Do you think that would hurt her?
Yes.
Of course that would hurt her. Why? That's right. I'm not paying any attention. Some of that time you want to spend with her, looking into those eyes. Not you guys, only me. And that's what that time is for, isn't it? Have you ever taken your spouse through a garden? If not, you ought to. Gardens are beautiful places. God made them that way. God made them to be pleasing to the eyes with a good smell of flowers and fruit and every other thing. As you're walking with your spouse through the garden, are you doing this? Now, for those of you who have not gone through a garden with your loved one, don't do that. No, you walk through a garden, man, it's a slow pace. Taking time, stopping, looking at each other. Am I right? And you don't rush, and you wish you could stay there all day. Because work is out there, and you don't want to do that. You want to spend time with the one you love. Right? Thank you. designed you for fellowship. The husband and wife relationship is a picture of God and man. It is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. It is a picture, and that is why it is sacred. We do not defile the picture. I don't have to preach all the sins. You know them. It is a picture that God made. And you don't rush it. Man, how many of you get up and we do devotion sometimes and like, well, I'm going to read my chapter. Maybe I have like a bread of life booklet. I'll read, you know, that, close it, and I'm done. If you think that's devotion, you think that's having fellowship with Jesus Christ, you're wrong. If that has been your entire devotional life, I'm sorry for it. That's not how you grow. You spend time. You spend the hours. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many of us honestly spend at least an hour in prayer a day? Before I married my wife, to make sure that she really was the one for me, I had 10 men independently praying who I picked because they would pray at least an hour a day. Because I wanted to know it was God's will. Not just, hey, my heart, I know this thing lies to me, and I know my wonder is broken. I know I will want things that I shouldn't. Things that won't bring me happiness or please me. I'm already well aware. My heart and my wanter, my desires to be corrupted and broken. I understand that. That is why I need to spend time with God. But then there was the day. God came down to the garden. And Adam wasn't there. God knew where Adam was. He says, Adam, where are you? And you know the story. You see, he had already eaten the fruit. And he had to clothe himself for he saw that he was naked. Oh, how that must have broke the father's heart. God says that God is love. His mercy and earth forever. And we have a God of caring, compassion. He knew what's going to happen. So to him, you'll have to die. You know, he's not like some of these people. He wanted to wrap around man now had to be stretched out and held fast. But he would crown us with glory. He had to take upon himself the crown of thorns and to take upon himself death. It was no small thing for man to teach life to die so that life could be just. He did all of that. He was buried. He took our sin debts as far as the east is from the west. And they're buried in the depths of the deepest sea. He said, God says, I will remember them no more. Someone gets down and prays this. gave a parable about a good shepherd. And this shepherd, oh, he had 99 sheep over here in the flock. And they weren't doing anything too bad, you know. The righteous God would later, Jesus would later refer to them by. He says, look, you 99, you have fellowship over here. I'm going out to find that one lost lamb. And when he finds the lost sheep, the Bible says that he picks it up and places it upon himself. Now, I grew up on a farm. Sheep are not brilliant. There's a reason he had to put it on himself. And that sheep was not put down until both the shepherd and the sheep were both safely back in the fold. Why do we do missions? What is really the heartbeat of God? To save man so he can live however he wants to be? A get out of jail free card? God wants you to be into a relationship with him, an intimate relationship. He will burden, he will share your burdens, and he will give you burdens. A burden for the lost. A burden for your friends, your family members, your neighbors. He will take upon your cares and share with you the cares of the world. He'll give you peace and life and joy and happiness. But you've got to walk with him. You've got to walk with him. It's got to be by choice. It's got to be by love. You have to walk. Will you walk with him this week? Will you follow him up to this altar? Will you say, Lord, I'll follow you if it goes to Europe? Lord, I'll follow you if it goes to Russia or Asia or China or Africa or Australia or Brazil or, Lord, even if you want to bury me in the snow up in Alaska. Lord, I'll follow you. Because in order to please you, I must do it faithfully. I will actively pursue you in my life. That's what God saved you for. That's what God wants you for. Maybe he won't call you out of the world. Maybe he'll leave you here in Rome. But your time here in Rome will be an adventure. Let's follow the Lord together. Amen. Dear Father, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful for the opportunity that you've given to us again. Lord, as we close the Sunday school hour and look forward to hearing Brother Matt preach again, Lord, we're asking now that you would be with him. Let him speak your word. And Lord, if there's anyone here who is not yet saved, then may today be the day of their salvation. We'd be happy for them. We wouldn't pick on them or make fun of them. No, we'd be joyful. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, let us not look at our Christian life, our Christian walk, and be satisfied where we're at. But let us, with wholehearted vigor, let's pursue you to walk with you in the garden, for such you've created us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
You know, that's a biblical philosophy of ministry. Restoring.